world's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, here's the issue, and it always seems to be the issue every morning. I got 1,000 directions I could go. Now, I'm not 1,000. That's exaggeration. And it's all relevant. It's all pertinent. It all matters. And I got an hour. And I've been up since 5:15. I'm not complaining. I'm painting a picture. 5:15, trying to bring up relevant information to explain to us why we are in the mess that we're in. We, folks, come on. We know this. It's not political. Hell's bells. It's not political. Those guys all in Washington, D.C., they're all playing a game. There are maybe some good folks there, but they're evil spirits in high places. I'm going to talk about that today. We got a lot going on. There's a lot going on, man. There's a lot going on. And I feel like the, what do they call that guy? In the circus, the guy keeps everything moving because it's all relevant and it all matters.
Ringmaster.
Ringmaster. Thank you, Dale. I feel like the ringmaster because everything is pertinent and everything matters. And I'm going to get to some of that here today. But before we do, I listen. Pull up for me, Spence. Where did I put it? Number six. I know you guys are busting. Go ahead, Mel. Get your hand up. Go ahead.
Thanks, Coach. Hey, Spencer, if you could go to the Liberty Action Network. I've done some updates there that are relevant to what we talked about yesterday. So if you go down to Rockin' Across the USA, I took my rocks and went rocking across the USA last night. Go ahead and click on that. And I just want to show you, if you scroll down there, I've added a new button. Go ahead, just keep going down. That's what we talked about yesterday. So. What I did is I created a click and print button that if you want to print the action because of those prayer elements, that would make that easy to do. You could print that. And then down below that, Craig's created a backfire prayer against the satanic temple that we could all pray in one accord. Those are just some pictures there that I took last night on Route 40. So what I did is I took some of the Bible verses from those biblical elements of spiritual warfare, and I wrote those on the rocks. So anyway, I wanted to mention that's there. And then also, if you could go to the events tab this Thursday at Sky High, you know, since these actions are happening quickly in events, I just want to make sure that you're aware. This Thursday, which would be tomorrow, at Sky High, we're going to be meeting there at 6:30. And if you scroll down a little bit, I also added the backfire prayer there too. So that's something that we could use when we gather there, Coach. So I think that's all for me. Thank you.
Man, I actually my monthly newsletter, which Spencer's working on right now that will go out, is all about all this stuff, about rocking the USA, yada, yada, yada. Because the truth of the matter is the average Christian, number one, has no idea what's going on. Number two, has no idea what to do about it. And number three, has no understanding at all of the spiritual realm, spiritual world. I'm convinced of that. That I come in contact with people and I start talking about some of this stuff and their eyes cross. And so just bear with me here as I kind of lay something out that I think is critically important for all of us to understand, okay? Bring up for me, Spencer, as I said, thanks, Mel, for doing all that stuff. By the way, I had a lot going on. Ephesians 6. Bible says that I believe it, that settles it. That's what they love to say to us. That's what the religious folks like to say. Huh? Yeah. Bible says that I believe it, that settles it, but I don't always follow it. We'll say that again because you missed it. Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it, but you don't follow it. We don't follow it. Ephesians 6, put up what I had up there, Spence, if you could, please, because I want to read it. I want to read the entire thing, because we don't get it. Finally, my brothers, finally, wait a minute, what do you mean, finally? Well, in other words, he told us a bunch of stuff, and he says, okay, one more thing. All right, hey, finally, or I'm bringing it all together. Hey, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Hang on a minute. Do you really understand what the power of his might is? Do we really understand that? Are you being taught that when we go to church on Sunday, whenever you go to church, are you being taught against the power of his might? And I would say the answer to that is no. No, we're not. We've been influenced by satellite TV and Joel Osteen and big blab it and grab it, and our entire focus of Christianity has become materialism. I want to be healthy, wealthy. I want to have good things. I don't want any problems. You're not saying, man, it is what it is. But it says in Ephesians that you put on the full armor of God. First of all, why would you have to put on armor? Why would you have to put on armor? When I was coaching football, I would never put a guy on the football field without his pads. I mean, maybe in practice, walkthroughs, but I'd never, ever, on Friday night, put him out there without his equipment on. That'd be crazy, right? Finally, brothers, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are wiles? Well, hey, Spencer, real quickly, what are wiles? Go to Mr. Webster. See, what's a wile? A trick. A stratagem. Practice for ensnaring. Wow. Or deception. Lies, deception, and fear. Oh, my. Lies. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the lies, the deception of the devil. Now, friends, the apostle is telling us here that the devil is actively involved in the influencing of our lives. Can't be more clear. And you and I, even though they don't teach us so much anymore in churches, are supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, filled means filled. There ain't no room. Do you ever get a bottle and you fill it to the top? I got a cup here. Fill it to the top. You can't put any more in it. So if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no way that the demon can get in there. Now, they can influence you, but you can't be possessed. Again, difference between oppressed and possessed. Bear with me. For we wrestle not. What does it mean to wrestle? You ever go to a wrestling match? I used to coach high school wrestling. Sometimes you're on top and sometimes you're on the bottom. And when you're on the bottom, you got to figure out how to get on the top. And there are techniques that you use, arm bars and just all kinds of techniques. So we're wrestling, but it's not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual war. But we're wrestling against principalities. What's a principality? It's a strong power, position of authority. You and I are wrestling every day against principalities, against powers. What? Yes. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. What? When's the last time you went to church on Sunday and they talked to you about the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places? We ought to be hearing this almost every week because we're in a war. We're in a war. It says, wherefore, take upon you the whole armor of God. Put on your uniform. Put on your uniform that you might be able to withstand. Withstand, what does that mean? I mean, just hang on, man. The wind's blowing and you're hanging on to a tree. You got to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to do, you stand. You got to stand. What does that mean? It's winds blowing against you, man. Huh? Oh, yeah. Tornadic winds blowing against you. Hurricanes. And all you can do is stand. Dig it in. Know what you believe and stand. But when you stand, put on your equipment. put on your football equipment, helmet, shoulder pads. What? No, he starts the other way, though, doesn't he? Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The loins is the actual. Spencer, what are loins? Loins. The loins are the space on each side of the vertebrae between the lowest of the false ribs and the upper portion of the oscillium or haunch bone, or the lateral portions of the lumbar region called also the reins. So the loins would be your backbone area, right? So therefore, have some guts and girt your loins and hang on to truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, clean up your act. Put your shoes of peace on. By the way, peace doesn't always mean go along to get along. People say to cry peace, peace, there is no peace. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, with the preparation, preparing the way for the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, where you might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What? Fiery darts? Is that literal? Are there actually fiery darts? Is the enemy actually shooting darts at us? Helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which word of God, praying always, all prayer and supplication, Spirit, warrant to all perseverance, supplication for all the saints. For I'm an ambassador in bonds, and therefore I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Okay? So Paul couldn't make it any more clear that it's a spiritual war. Every one of us engages in a spiritual war daily. Daily. But we don't understand it. So I want to take you through some stuff here real quickly, if I can. Pull up number two. Pull up number two. This is a guy, Jason Howerton, talking to us about the demonic realm. Go ahead.
This is the most overt demonic activity I've ever seen chronicled in the national news. I've never seen anything like it. I'm going to show some disturbing images. This transgender dude, now remember, he's targeting Christian children. Look at the things that are written.
Freeze it. These are evil spirits in high places entering in to unsaved people. You got that? You got to serve somebody. Remember that? You got to serve some Bob Dylan. Got to serve somebody. Everybody's serving somebody. Go ahead.
On the gun clips that he used to kill Christian children. So you got here, for the children. Go to the next one. He wrote on it, where is your God? Okay. Go to the next one. Israel must fall. So we're noticing a pattern here. Okay, this is a person who is feeling not gendered, non-binary, whatever you want to say. Interestingly, in the Bible, guess who is not gendered in the Bible? Angels and demons. They are non-binary. They are gender fluid. They're targeting children. They're targeting Christians. They're targeting the land and the lineage of the Lord. Well, this is starting to sound a little creepy. I wonder what's going on here. Go to the next one and look at what this dude.
The land and lineage of the Lord. They're targeting the land and the lineage of the Lord. Go ahead.
Was using for target practice. It's literally a picture of the crucified Lord. Now let's go a layer deeper because it gets a little creepier. This is the next one. Is this drawing that he had in his notebook of him looking in a mirror with a demon looking back in the mirror, and then there's all this writing, and this is a translation of the writing, and the translation is, who, when will this end? So you have a tortured person, an oppressed person. Help me. I don't want to. Help. And then what's the demon say back? Kill yourself. Kill. Listen, bro. Sometimes the greatest argument for the existence of God and the truth of Christianity is the very obvious existence of demons. That's that right there. It's literally like somebody opened the Bible and went, what do demons do? And then they did that thing. So every Christian should see this stuff and we should go, hey man, I know exactly what that is. The book of Ephesians says our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And then it says, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. This is the.
So I want to double back here in a second. Why do you go to church? Why do you go to church? That's a good question, isn't it? Why do you go to church? Well, I go to church because my mom and dad told me I'm supposed to. And Christians go to church. And we go to church and we play music and the pastor preaches. And I shake hands with some people that I won't see the next week. And then I go home and watch football. Not realizing that we're in church because there's a war outside. And we come into church to be trained, equipped, mobilized to go fight that war. David Arthur says he goes for shop fellowship. Good. Yeah, to get encouraged. Good, good. But the truth of it is you get encouraged and you go out and you got to go fight that war. You're wrestling not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers. Why don't we understand this? That this is what we're up against. Why isn't this being taught? Okay, I want to show you something here. Do you guys believe if God is who he says he is, if Almighty God is who he says he is, could he bless America or Israel or pick your country and murder babies? Come on now. We go to church and we pray, oh, Lord, bless us, bless us, bless us, bless us. No. And then we sit around and let them use our tax dollars to murder babies. By the way, the devil loves murdering babies. Why? Because he hates all those created in the image of God. Image of God. Now, this is amazing. Pull up number one. This is one of the best ones I've ever watched. The Power of Truth. Representative Brandon Gill. Folks, why don't we hate abortion? Why doesn't the American church hate abortion? We all need to really, how can we actually ask the Lord to bless us when we, every one of us, me included, permit the slaughter of unborn children? They take my money and do it. Because what? Well, the Supreme Court said they could. My body, my choice, right? This is one of the most powerful expose of the weakness of the pro-abortion argument I've ever heard. Brandon Gill is having a hearing with some pro-abort. It's about 6 minutes. Sit back and listen to him demolish this argument. Hey, folks, we ought to... Come on, man. When is the church going to rise? How can God bless the church when we know it's going on? This is powerful. Go ahead.
You're an advocate for abortion, for abortion policy. What's your favorite type of abortion?
I am an advocate for patients having access to the full realm of reproductive health care.
But do you have a preferred method of abortion that you like?
I do not.
Let me read through a couple different methods, and I want to get your take on how much you like these. The first type is called a suction abortion. This is... when the cervix is dilated and a strong suction, 29 times the power of a household vacuum cleaner, tears the baby's body apart and sucks it through the hose into a container. Do you prefer that method?
I stand by my former testimony.
That sounds kind of gross, doesn't it? Sounds pretty gruesome. Do you agree? It does to me.
I stand by how I answered your question fully and accurately.
Okay, what about this one? This one is called dilation and curettage. After dilation of the cervix, a sharp looped knife is inserted into the uterus. The baby's body is cut into pieces and extracted, often by suction. Do you prefer that method?
What I believe we are here to talk about today is the FACE Act. We are not here to talk about the legality.
You're a pro-abortion advocate. I'm asking if you prefer the dilation and curettage method.
I am an access to reproductive health care advocate.
You don't want to talk about abortion itself. Why is that?
I would prefer to talk about the reason that the committee called the hearing.
Is it because it's uncomfortable to talk about?
I would prefer, if you would let me finish my statement, to talk about the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, which is
what I was asked to come here to talk about. How about this one? It's called dilation and evacuation. Forceps are inserted into the uterus, grabbing and twisting the baby's body to dismember him or her. If the head is too large, it must be crushed in order to remove it. Do you prefer that method?
I would prefer to talk about the reason the hearing was called and the basis of my expert testimony.
It's uncomfortable to hear this, isn't it? It is. I think it is, because it's barbaric and evil. How about this one? It's called the saline injection. It's when a 20% salt solution is injected through the mother's abdomen into the baby's amniotic fluid. The baby's skin is burned off. The baby ingests the solution and dies of salt poisoning, dehydration, and hemorrhaging of the brain. Do you prefer that method?
I would prefer to talk about the subject of the hearing.
This is the subject of the hearing. This is about protests outside of abortion clinics. I'm asking you about abortion.
I stand by my prior testimony.
Okay. I wouldn't want to talk about this either if I were you. Because.
Wow, huh? Wow. Wow. Now, I want to ask you something. Does the pro-life movement, whatever that would be, do they talk like that? No. They can't talk like that because why? It's barbaric, and we all know it's barbaric. We all know it. So therefore, we make it about a woman's right to choose. We don't talk about what that choice is and the fact that it's another human being. I'm just letting that, I'm letting that sink in. I know some of you are busting to get in here a second. Hang on. This is going on in our midst. When's the last time? Raise your hand right now for me if your pastor would play that in the church. Of course he's not. Why? Because we've made it about the woman. And remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. Pull up number 10. Because I was reading Ephesians. I'm going to open up here. I got a lot. And I was reading Ephesians, and it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. What's a high place? The Bible calls it a high place. What's a high place? So I Googled this today. What are high places? And what's their significance? Because the Bible speaks specifically to high places. Wouldn't it be a good idea if we knew what high places were? In Hebrew, it's bama, meaning an eminence, natural or artificial, where worship by sacrifice or offerings are made. Ancient high places were elevated sites, typically natural hilltops, mountainsides, whatever. These locations symbolize closeness to God. The higher they go up on the hill, the closer they are to God. Idolatrous high places. Before the Israelite conquest of Canaan, high places were dedicated to fertility deities like Baal, god of storms and agriculture, Asherah. They served as local shrines tied to agricultural cycles with rituals emphasizing prosperity and reproduction. Let me ask you something. What high places are there where you live? I'm not talking about your house. I'm talking about locally. What are high places where you live? Because we're called to pull down Cast down those high places. Going down, scroll down. I'm not going to read all of this, okay? Key features, the injunction. Hang on, back up a little bit. I lost that. Key features, high places were sometimes simple yet functional, often including, scroll down, Spence, stones or earthen platforms for burnt offerings. Hang on, we're talking about staking. We're talking going out staking. What? Earthen platforms, sacrifice, sometimes hewn from rocks, sacred pillars, upright stones, standing. Ashram were wooden poles or trees symbolizing fertility. Incense, altars, sacred groves of trees. These elements made high places versatile for festivals, vows, feasts, communal sacrifices. What's a bomb? What's a Balma? It answers about idolatry, false gods in the Bible. What are the Ten Commandments? The first altar after the flood was built on a mountain. Noah built an altar to the Lord. But folks, we're on to something here because these altars are all around us. And we're supposed to go up to the high places and tear the devil's kingdom down. Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain, a high place. Prophets like Samuel and Elijah also used high places, urban variations, while usually on hills, somewhere in cities, at gates, or even valleys. Think about Washington, D.C. The high places. God commanded in Deuteronomy, demolition. Demolition. Pious kings like Hezekiah and Josiah destroyed the high places, including Bethel's ancient site, to purge idolatry. Their presence contributed to exile. What's the job of the church? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. When's the last sermon you heard on it? So the importance of what we're doing right now, see, don't take it lightly. I could run down a litany of things that happened after this group of people went to Minnesota and salted the water in Minnesota, Minneapolis, who staked the government buildings in St. Paul, Minnesota. And the same people went down to St. Louis and staked the arch. Come on, we were there. We staked the arch. We claimed the arch. We threw salt in the Mississippi River there in St. Louis. And then, lo and behold, thanks to Dale, we drove down to the lowest point down in Louisiana, where it goes into the Gulf of America, and we salted and staked that. Why? Because we're pulling down strongholds. And the strongholds are all around you in your community. This ain't rocket science. This ain't hard. Mel, pull up what Mel had, what Mel did yesterday. I was supposed to go with Mel, and I double booked, as that happens to me sometimes. And Liberty Mel gets in her car, and she drives out, and she stakes. No, she put stones down, put rocks down to signify what? Even the rocks will cry out. Are you guys tired yet of seeing Almighty God get his butt kicked in the culture? No, he's not. We understand he's not. Shouldn't that upset us to see all things Christian trod upon, cast upon, spit upon, peed upon? Shouldn't that, somebody did that to my wife, I'd knock their friggin' teeth out. But what's the message in your local church? That's all over. We'll be out of here soon. Getting so bad. That devil's so daggone strong. Huh? We can't beat him. We can't beat him. Poem number 7, then I'm going to open it up. I got more. Hey, friends. Bible says, seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, there is a spiritual realm around us. They can see us. We can't see them. They say when a spirit manifests, Spencer, there's a good word to look up, manifest. When a spirit manifests, what does that mean, Spencer? Plain, open, and clearly visible or obvious to understanding. And if you can't look around and see the spirit manifesting, some people call that abortion. Some call it homosex. Some call it transgenderism. Some call it greed, whatever. If we can't see what's going on, that the evil is manifesting, and understand that we are called to do what? To pull down those high places. The church's job. You shouldn't go to church to be encouraged just to make it through the week. You should go to church to get the marching orders on what we're going to do this week to tear the devil's kingdom down. Okay, I don't know who Don Stewart is. What power do demons have? They enter into the bodies of humans and animals, Betty, and animals. Demons are able to enter and control both humans and animals. Go to the next one. They inflict mental disease. Anybody say amen on that? Anybody got somebody you love who has a mental disease? They don't know it. They can't see it. They don't understand it. And you show them something as plain as can be, and they cannot see it. Why? One of the Gadarene demoniacs says this: for he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he tore apart and shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tubes and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. Demons inflict physical infirmities. What? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Some of your sicknesses are demonic. They're of the devil. Going down. Physical deformity. So how the devil attacks. Blindness. Oh, my goodness. Right, go back. They brought to him a demoniac who was blind and mute. And he cured him so that one who had been mute could speak and see. Demons blind us. Demons can affect both the physical and the spiritual nature of a person at the same time. Now, what are the causes? Well, one, judgment for sin. Sometimes sickness is a judgment of God for sin. 1 Corinthians says, for this reason, many of you are weak and ill. What else do? They cause erratic behavior. Anybody saying amen here? No, anybody who's acting like this? Erratic behavior? Amen. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and he suffers terribly. He falls in the fire and in the water. And I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't do anything. They took him to church and they couldn't do anything about it. Jesus said, you faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him to me. Jesus rebuked the demon that came out of him. The boy was cured instantly. Demons harm unbelievers. Scroll down, Spence. Scripture gives us examples of unbelievers being harmed by demons. Go on down. They deceive nations. There are demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty. Works not confined to individuals, but entire nations. Would you guys say, would anybody agree with me that our nation seems to be under demonic influence? Would anybody out there want, huh? And we think it's Republican, Democrat? We think it's political? It's spiritual, folks. The influence of demons can be seen by a number of things, which they do. They can enter into people, into animals, inflict mental illness, physical infirmities, and it can cause people to have behavior erratically and even deceive entire nations. Though their power is far-reaching, it can only be exercised within limits. I'm going to open it up. Look, what you are doing makes a difference. What you are doing makes a difference. And if you don't understand that the entire powers and principalities have seized, can I say it? Medicine? Is Christ anywhere in medicine? Paul, is Christ anywhere in medicine?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple of us.
No, that's not what I meant. In the teaching, in the schools, is Christ ever part of the med school?
Hey, Coach, let me tell you, when I was in med school, right, in 1992 or whatever it is, that was my sophomore year, that came up, right, the abortion thing. I had to take the class, although I couldn't graduate. I never took the class. I told them to pound sand it. I talked to three girls in there that didn't make the grade to get into med school, but they were there for the sole purpose of when they got out was to murder babies. And every single one of them said, murder babies right up until they're ready to be born. That was okay. Mm. That's the mindset. And then I said to myself, I'm in the wrong profession.
That's right. Because why? Infiltration of the devil. Infiltration. Greater love has no man than this, than he would die for his children. Not kill his children for him to be happy. You with me? And so these decisions that we are faced today, every one of them, folks, the condition we find ourselves in today can be laid right at the feet of Christians. We don't actively oppose the devil. We don't do it. In fact, your pastor may not even know how to do it. He may not even believe in the demonic. All right, Craig's been busting. I'm trying to encourage you, folks. I'm trying to encourage you that the staking and the rocking makes a difference. Take authority. It's been given unto us. The devil is running around unrestrained because Christians are focusing on getting out of here. Jack, give me a thumbs up. Give me a thumbs up. Huh? Times are getting worse. It's going to get worse. Only going to get worse. We're out of here. We're out of here. No. Occupy till I come. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. It's all throughout the scripture. Expand the kingdom. Go into all the world. Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And we don't do it. We don't do it. Come on in, Craig. I'm talking to me, not you.
So, Spencer, can you go 7:32? I'm going to try to sum up in about a minute or two, Coach, everything that you just talked about. All right. The Baltimore incinerator. Okay. Can you scroll down? First, it costs $100 million in health costs. So, scroll right a little bit further. Okay. Get that picture right there. We need that picture. Okay. Do you see what that is right there?
That's where they burn babies, I assume.
That's exactly right. Okay. This place takes in all the medical waste in the Northeast. Okay. So that means, yeah, that's your doctor's office, but that's also your abortion clinic.
Yeah. Okay. Your grandson might be in there. Your grandson. Right.
If you took a rock with a good slingshot, maybe David, you could hit Ravens Stadium.
Baltimore.
Okay. Right. And Oriole Stadium there. Okay. And so, yeah, you add an extra A after B and you're starting to catch what's going on here. Spiritually.
Bail in Baltimore.
Correct. Okay. The people there don't like it. They've tried to fight that. They've tried to shut that thing down for decades. And, you know, there's a very strong component to it. The other thing is, who wrote the poem that they used to make everybody read in high school, Edgar Allan Poe. Where was he from? That'd be Baltimore. Okay. His house is there. Okay. When Noah opened up the roof, he let off two birds, a raven and a dove. The raven never came back. Okay. So there's another spiritual component. And the last thing is, Spencer, I ask you to pull up. It's about Salem, Massachusetts. It was, I think, at 7-Eleven. Okay. All right. The Satanic Temple is looking for a revival. Why can't they do one in Salem? Are you going to go to, you going to go 400 miles from Sky High and have a revival, Coach? No. All right. They're coming to Baltimore, and they are coming for a reason. We don't have it all figured out. I have some ideas, and I'm not even going to get into it here. But the point, here's my point. All right. Remember when we were sitting at Georgia Guidestones and I was like all about, gee, you know, 400 years, coach, 400 years, coach, 400 years. Okay. When the Pilgrims came, they landed at Plymouth Rock. And then guess what? They made nice with the Indians. And guess where they moved to? Salem. And when did they first incorporate it? 1626. When you add 400 years, you come to 1926. Does that ring a bell? Or 2026, I'm sorry. 2026, all right. Well, my math's off today. Anyways, this has every, they picked this strategically. Spiritually, they picked this strategically. And that's why what we are doing and others, it's way beyond past assault now, but we are paying, we're leading the way. Let's put you that way. They are trying to literally move east to west and create a satanic revival across this country.
Hey, Spencer, can you pull up those pictures that Mel had that you started the show with? The rocks that Mel went out last night and did. The Bible says that even the rocks will cry out. Even the rocks will cry out. And we go stake, I'm getting to my newsletter this month. You guys know about it. You got to share it with others. That's my new phone. That's my new phone sound. There it is. So Mel went out yesterday on Route 40 East, which is just down the road from here. And she took some pictures. And what did she put? What's the first one to say? Can you click on the, what was her stone? What's on her stone there, Spence? Can you click on that for me? The first one, Philippians 2:10. Let the rocks cry.
Philemon.
I'm sorry. Oh, Philemon 2:10. Philemon 2:10. What is it, Mel? Philemon 2:10. Don't mean to put you on the spot. It is. Whoops, I got. Nope, you got 209. Go back up. And to our beloved Aphila and Archippus, our fellow soldier. Anyway, point being, let the rocks cry out. Write the scripture on the rock. Let the rock cry out, okay? She went there under the authority of the Holy Spirit. She reclaimed it. And left a marker. Okay? Go to the next picture. Go to the next picture. Okay. 2 Corinthians 10:4. What's 2 Corinthians 10:4 say? I mean, Mel picked these verses. I don't know why. I'm not being judgmental. Okay, so anyway, it doesn't matter. You get what you do. You get what you do. For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. She reclaimed that area. Reclaimed. And I've said it a number of times. You can argue with me, not believe it or not. All hell broke loose in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota, after we went and prayer walked it and staked it. Anybody want to argue with that? Anybody want to argue with it? And we went down to Louisiana, as far down as you could. We staked it down there, and all of a sudden, they want to call it the Gulf of America. Just call it coincidence. These are high places, high meaning authority, and we've allowed the enemy to be in charge of these places. That's why they're high places. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to go reclaim those high places. Are you doing that? This is one of the easiest fellowship things that you can ever do. Get two or three of your friends and take them and go to the four corners of your town, go to the courthouse. It's so easy. You laugh, you have a good time, you pray, you take authority, you go get a sandwich afterwards, build fellowship, you pull more people in. Come on in, Jack.
Yeah, I was thinking this morning, and it goes right along with what you're talking about here. We've been so desensitized to the words that are used. How do you defeat an enemy? You isolate and personalize and destroy.
Yep.
But we talk about corruption all the time. I was thinking about this because I got an interview coming up. We talk about corruption, but we don't personalize it. Corruption, we treat corruption as if it's a standalone entity. No, there's a person doing corrupt things. Name the person. Name the organization. They're doing corrupt things. Corruption is not a physical entity, and we treat it like that. Oh, there's the courts are corrupt. Okay, wait a minute. What's that mean? There's a judge that is corrupt, and his name is Tim Smith. We've got to learn to get past these stupid things that we've been so dumbed down and desensitized to. Corruption is corruption. It's not a standalone entity. Name them.
Amen. Amen. I just got, I'm sorry, Jack. I just got this. My wife just came down. Mark. Mark Madding. Mark Madding.
They did surgery. And now he's on life support.
Mark Mattingly. Some of you know Mark, some of you don't. And he's been fighting the fight for sure. He fell, hit his head, caused a brain bleed.
They did surgery. And now he's on life support. So he
need
prayer.
Amen.
They can't get the bleeding to stop.
Gotcha. Lord, we don't even know what to say. We know that death is real. Death is, it's imminent for all of us, Lord, but the reality of it is startling. And Father, be your will, and we know it's your will, that healing is the children's bread, that you would touch Mark even right now. Do a miracle, Lord. Heal him, top of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord. We can't do anything about it. We can pray. We can appeal. You're the great physician, Lord. We just ask that you would touch him now. Touch his family. Surround them with your love and your protection, your comfort. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Pray for Mark today. Pray for Mark. Amen. Where am I here? Amen. James Thomas. Go on, James.
Yeah. Love you, brother. Father, I just pray for Mark. I speak to the problem that he has with his head. Father, we believe that your word says, if Mark is dead to sin and is alive unto righteousness, by your stripes, Mark is sealed. We lay hold of that, Lord, in faith in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you hear us when we pray. You don't hide from us. Back to that video of that woman speaking to that congressperson. This is a manifestation of a demon in a person.
Amen, brother.
If you cannot, had that person been a man of faith, he could have rebuked it and bound it, and that woman could not say a word. This is the power and the authority that we have.
We don't believe in it anymore. It's not taught to us anymore.
If a man of God is full of the Holy Ghost, demons fear him, not them, not vice versa. So this, this should be debated at the church level. This would be at a church as the body of Christ coming together, dealing with this kind of woman. But it's not. It's now. So this is when you're talking about strongholds and principalities. This is the highest government of the people debating the change of a word, and that's from a baby, a living human being baby, which that man used, to a fetus. If you change that word of a baby to a fetus, It's just like you talking about cancer being a parasite. If yeah. you hear most people who do this abortion thing, most women, they say it's a parasite.
Yeah,
it's like sucking off the sucking off the nurturing of the mother, and it's not. So this, the battle that we have. Jesus, when he died, when he finished his thing on the cross, when he did it, he said in Luke 10:9, I saw Satan fall from heaven. I have given you power over the works of the devil. The devil has no claim over a Christian ever. He can't. But he can affect that 1 Corinthians 10:14 thing, where it says casting down the imagination. That's where he gets most people to end that mind thing.
That's right.
Love you, brother.
Amen. Casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing the captivity of the obedience of Christ. Scripture says, all those who hate me love death.
So I'll shut up after this. That you're going into the staking. It's a stir. It's a stir in the kingdom of darkness. This is why you get if you go poke a wasp nest, they're going to stir. They're going to move. This is what you're doing. But the worst bad thing about it is there's no foundation after you stirred to finish the job. You know what I'm saying? You have to have a body of Christ that is strong, that is going to rebuke that stroke. This is why President Trump, even though he is not a believer, I don't think he's a Christian. But he is a potster. I think it's the Sons of Liberty. He talks about, I am a boat rocker. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Trump is that boat rocker. He is, and this is why the demonic is after him consistently, because he's doing what we should be doing. Amen.
Amen, brother. I couldn't agree. Eileen, bless you, James. Thanks, Eileen.
Good morning, Coach. I believe that testimony with that woman had to do with a hearing on overturning the FACE Act.
Right.
It is. Okay. So our Eva Edel also testified.
Yes, I saw that.
Oh, you did? Okay. Well, for
she's a friend of mine. I'll see if I can get her on. Eva's a friend of mine. Yeah.
Yes. Eva's
a Holocaust survivor. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Well, when they were in Detroit for the trial, I was there.
Let me ask you something, Eileen. Why doesn't the church give a damn about abortion?
Again, I ask pastors all the time when I interview them, what is it that why they won't speak out? Oh, you know, we're going to collect for the baby, for baby clothes and for the pregnancy center donations. But when I went to my pastor at the time and said, I would like to be appointed the life representative for that, instead of these mothers who find themselves pregnant, instead of running to the abortion clinic, that they run to the church and that they have all the support. And so let me be appointed. And I never heard. He said, yes, that would be great. It's called Life. Love Life. It's all across the nation, and we have one here in Detroit. And that was the last I heard from him.
They don't love life, right?
I don't know.
Jesus said it'd be if anybody did this to one of these little ones, it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and throw yourself into the deepest part of the ocean. And we freaking ignore it. Mel, come on in.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. Hey, I did want to say and make a correction. When I saw the abbreviation PHIL, for some reason I thought Philemon, but it is Philippians. And okay. Philippians 2:10 says that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven. Sorry about that. Never mind. Anyway, gotcha. You guys can read it.
Yeah, gotcha. Philippians, okay. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess it. Jesus Christ is Lord. So she put that on a stone and reclaimed it. Craig.
Coach, I'm going to encourage you to read the prayer, okay? Because this is one of those things I woke up, it's one of those prayers like God gives you. And maybe that's the way to finish up, because what James said is very important, okay? So when you stir the nest, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Well, this prayer addresses that. So if you read it, I think it's powerful. I think it's a way to start this whole thing off.
Psalm 133 declares a blessing where there is unity in the body of Christ. A satanic temple in an unsuccessful attempt is gathering this week in the city of Baltimore. TST is trying to ignite a satanic revival across America. It's now been declared and decreed as of April 28th, 2026, and will backfire, causing sevenfold judgment upon themselves. We're asking for a Holy Spirit explosion to be ignited across this land instead. We as the people and body of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in unity and one accord, now declare and decree for the spirit of the legion and other unclean, foul, unrighteous spirits associated with the satanic temple of Salem, Massachusetts, its 501c3 unholy religious spirit throughout the United States of America, be bound, silenced, and cast into the filthy vessels being thrown back into the Atlantic Ocean and being drowned and submerged to the deepest depths of the ocean with a millstone tied around the neck, per Matthew 18:6. For the harm they have caused to the children and youth of America by promoting after-school Satan clubs, homosexuality, transgender, and drag queen performances, may satanic temple and its agents of darkness be cast and kept into the lowest depths of Sheol until the great white throne judgment day of Revelation 2011. And may those involved, individuals who are involved or sympathetic to the cause, repent and denounce their wicked ways before God's almighty judgment is cast upon this organization and it's too late. May Jesus the Christ dispatch from the throne of heaven his highest level angels to stand shoulder to shoulder over, around, and below the territorial lands and waters of the city of Baltimore in the state of Maryland, protecting the city inhabitants of Maryland from the Satanic Temple gathering on May 1st through the 2nd, 2026. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, may the highest rebukes be decreed coming down from the throne of the Most High God, dismantling the works of unrighteousness, satanic revival attempting to establish across America during the occult holiday of Beltane, which is May Day. And as the body of Christ, I acknowledge and agree with Isaiah 45:23, Romans 14:11, Philippians 2:11, that the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We, the body of Christ, decree that this across the USA from April 28th, 2026 through May 17th, 2026, upon the dedication of the nation to God and the beyond. We also declare and decree in the agreement of the Holy Spirit that the efforts of the Satanic Temple of America located in Salem, Massachusetts, be declared null and void in the spirit, in the flesh, covering all the lands of the United States of America, its 50 states, its territories of Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands, Guam, Northern Mariana Islands, American Samoa, and its 11 minor uninhabited islands and reefs. May the Most High God of heaven and earth display his great pleasure upon the workings of the Satanic Temple, its members, and those who associate with and support their ungodly, unrighteous agendas across the United States of America. May the American people repent for their sins, wicked ways as outlined in 2 Chronicles 7:14. May God have mercy on all of our people and our nation. Holy Spirit, please pour out your spirit of reawakening and revival to fall upon our land. In Jesus Christ's mighty and powerful name, we pray in agreement to these things and have outlined and not spoken. Amen and amen. Amen. Wow, Craig. Let's get to it. See you tomorrow.